Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Fit Body Happy Joints. My name is Shannon. Pilates is not snatching you. Here's what's really happening. I have heard all over the internet that people switch from lifting to Pilates and it snatches them. Why is this happening? First off, in case you haven't been exposed to this term, snatching is the internet's newest word for sculpting or toning or lifting or tightening. Basically, it's just marketing speak for losing fat and gaining muscle, or just losing fat overall. Snatching is, I feel funny even saying this word out loud, but here we go. This is all over the internet, so we need to be educated about it. Snatching is often referred to in your waistline, like a snatched quote unquote waist is one that is smaller than your bust and hips, according to the internet. So two issues with this. Number one, your bone shape will dictate most of the shape of your torso. For example, if you have a wider rib cage and a smaller bust like I do, you may not ever have that snatched appearance, quote unquote, no matter how you train. And then number two, it implies that exercise will have a significant influence on the fat in your body or specifically in your midsection. If you're a podcast listener, you know by now that fat loss is mainly nutrition, not exercise. So doing more core work or stability or Pilates or any form of exercise is not going to have a significant influence on overall fat loss and certainly won't spot treat fat in your midsection. But many influencers claim that they look smaller and more snatched from switching from lifting or HIIT to Pilates. If this is really happening, what is going on? So one of three things, or likely all three of these are at play. So number one, they've lost muscle mass and appear overall smaller, which actually is not a favorable change in body composition because unless they've changed their diet and they've also lost fat, they now have a higher body fat percentage compared to lean mass or muscle mass. Number two is that swelling may have decreased because they're loading muscles less or they're just kind of stressing their body less. And then number three, they may have changed their diet. If they went from hammering their bodies into the ground to a more gentle approach, hunger hormones may be affected, allowing them to be in a calorie deficit more easily. So one or all three of those things may be at play, giving them the appearance of being overall smaller, but it's not necessarily a desirable appearance, or it's not necessarily a desirable outcome. So let's discuss these three things on a deeper level. First, it's important to understand how we gain and maintain muscle. You have two primary types of muscle fibers. This is something that I talk about in a lot of podcasts, but we'll go over it really quickly. Type 1 muscle fibers are generally your endurance fibers. These are usually smaller in size, and we tend to keep a good composition of these fiber types as we age. These are the fiber types that are stimulated with high rep, low weight modalities like Pilates, bar, walking, etc. We can certainly stimulate and grow these types of fibers, and it's not a bad thing. And at low enough body fat percentages, you may even be able to see some small visible muscle definition from someone who has been training their type 1 muscle fibers with higher rep training. And then the type 2 muscle fibers, and within type 2 fibers, there are different subdivisions of type 2 fibers. But type 2 fibers are your larger muscle fibers that are easily fatigued and more powerful. We use them with lifts that require more effort. These fibers are incredibly important to grow and maintain as we age. We lose a disproportionate amount of these fibers with aging, which results in metabolic changes, body composition changes, and strength changes. Keeping a high composition of type 2 fibers will help you stay healthier as you age and allow you to maintain a healthier body composition with more ease. Now, how can you train to maintain or grow both type 1 and type 2 fibers? Because both are important, right? I speak to this all the time in different ways, but I came up with this REPS acronym that I've been using lately, and this can kind of be an easy way for you to determine, okay, is this workout building muscle for me? Because I get that question a lot. I'll get like, what about this workout? What do you think? Does this build muscle? Well, go through this REPS acronym with anything, and it'll tell you yes or no. So REPS, the R in REPS is easy. It's repetition. This means you're taking each set close to failure in less than 30 reps. Going over this 30 rep range likely means you aren't stimulating your type 2 muscle fibers and you need to choose a more challenging exercise or a more challenging weight. The E in reps is exercise selection. Not all exercises are created equal. For example, bodyweight donkey lifts likely won't build much glute muscle, whereas bodyweight step-ups likely will build glute muscle if you're taking it close to failure. Both are bodyweight exercises, but one has significantly more mechanical load. The step-up has significantly more mechanical load than the donkey lift, and therefore will be more effective. I also recommend using targeted lifts or targeted exercises that work one muscle group at a time instead of choosing combination exercises that are spreading your effort throughout your whole body. This is because when everything is worked at once, nothing gets the stimulation it actually needs to adapt. So less is more when it comes to exercise selection. The P in reps is protein. So eating 0.75 to 1 gram of protein per pound of body mass. The S in reps is structure. Work each muscle group 1 to 2 times per week on non-consecutive days, monitor your recovery, take 2-ish days off lifting, and make sure that you're sleeping enough. So to put it really simply, when you're following this reps framework, you'll build muscle and you'll have an effective routine. But many Pilates methods, not all, but many Pilates methods, or just a lot of popular exercise methods in general, fall short in one or more of these areas. And I want to talk about how the programming of these fitness modalities may make someone feel quote unquote smaller or quote unquote snatched. The R. So let's talk about where these methods fall short. The R. Most methods aren't using enough resistance to get close to failure in under 30 reps. This means that they're using high reps that may be training their type 1 muscle fibers, but not the type 2 muscle fibers. When you aren't training type 2 muscle fibers, you'll lose them. This means that you may lose muscle mass overall by switching to Pilates only. Additionally, if you're switching from a method that's super high intensity and kind of hammering your body into the ground, you'll likely see a decrease in cell swelling because when you are stressing your body significantly, swelling is very common. When you train your muscles, especially when you overstress them, they have temporary swelling that lasts anywhere from like 1 to 3-ish days, could last longer, that may make your muscles look bigger, maybe give you this like overall puffy feeling. Now, this is normal with lifting to a certain extent and tends to decrease the more you train. Of course, if you are constantly stressing your body, you might notice more of the swelling than if you're doing more of a moderate volume like we do in Evlo. But this swelling may dissipate if someone's switching from high intensity exercise or just fitness where they're utilizing their type 2 muscle fibers to doing more low intensity exercise where they're using more type 1 fibers, their swelling may eventually go away altogether, making them appear overall smaller. But remember that this is an illusion. It's not actually a positive change in body composition. Let's talk about the E, exercise selection. In a Pilates format or any exercise where they're claiming to like snatch you, quote unquote, they may be choosing exercises that are working everything at once, like maybe plank type movements or movements where you're kind of moving the weight around in a lot of different directions and everything it has to contract and tighten. But because your nervous system has so much to focus on and stabilize, it can't produce significant motor output to any given muscle. Now, there may be benefits to training like this for endurance and stability, and it will certainly feel hard. And I think that's where people fall victim to these types of workouts because it feels really hard. Maybe they get sweaty. Maybe they're really sore the next day. But it's not necessarily the best use of your energy if your goal is muscle growth or even maintenance because you aren't targeting one muscle group with enough stimulus to actually see growth in any muscle group. Again, which is one reason why you may lose muscle if you're switching from a lifting program that is more targeted to something like Pilates, and you may feel smaller overall. And then the P or the protein is less specific to Pilates or these workouts that are claiming to quote unquote snatch you. But many times the lifestyle of Pilates is such that you're focused on diets that are high in fruits and vegetables, which is awesome, but maybe lacking protein. Additionally, if you're switching from a routine that's hammering your body into the ground with excessive HIIT and you're switching to Pilates and walking, your hunger cues may stabilize because you're using a more gentle approach and you aren't overstressing your body. So this may mean that people unintentionally eat less and lose fat. So if someone is experiencing fat loss from Pilates, it's likely due to the change in their eating behaviors rather than Pilates itself, quote unquote, snatching them or toning them or making them lose fat mass. Again, this goes for any fitness method. I'm not trying to pick on Pilates. I've just seen from a lot of fitness influencers that they're using Pilates as the tool to give this illusion of being tighter or toned or snatched or whatever it may be. Because I've also seen ads for lifting methods that claim that they will, quote unquote, snatch you in a matter of a couple months. But remember, that toned aesthetic, which is the internet has renamed snatched, comes from a combination of fat loss and building muscle. This is called body recomposition and happens due to a combination of mainly diet changes for fat loss and then strength training in very specific ways for building muscle. So an exercise routine alone, especially one that doesn't really intentionally target muscles, is not going to be what quote unquote snatches you unless you are adding intentional strength training and you're adding diet changes. And finally, the S, or the structure. You may be overworking some muscle groups and underworking others, since many Pilates methods are full body in every single class. So if you're taking a Pilates class every single day, you might be overworking some muscle groups and potentially underworking others. So in short, some people see this short-term quote-unquote snatched aesthetic because they're losing muscle overall, or their cell swelling has decreased, or perhaps they've changed behaviors around food, but not because Pilates itself is what is quote-unquote snatching them. Is this to say that Pilates has no place? Absolutely not saying that. Again, I am not trying to pick on Pilates. I just think the marketing is around Pilates often when it comes to this. Training muscles in different ways and using your endurance muscle fibers absolutely can have a place in your routine and be beneficial to your body as a whole. And by the way, not all Pilates methods are created equal. Some absolutely follow the reps framework that I talked about and therefore can build muscle. In fact, we do integrate some higher rep training into our week of programming at Evlo. We do some higher rep training in burn, and then we also do some higher rep training in Thursday's bar class. But we still have that S in mind, that structure in mind. We alternate which muscle groups we're working, which is why it's really difficult for us to guarantee the same results if you're combining our build classes with other Pilates methods, because we get that question a lot. Like, how can I combine Evlo classes with Pilates classes from different studios or whatever it may be? And it's just difficult to guarantee the same results because we can't standardize for that S or that structure. I truly think, I know I'm biased, but I truly think Evlo is a catch-all and helps you build muscle, helps you integrate some endurance work each week, but isn't hammering your body into the ground with endless intensity and causing lots of swelling or pain or crazy hunger cues. I truly don't think you need to add other Pilates-type workouts, but again, I know I'm biased, so just take that with a grain of salt. If Pilates is for you and you love it, please don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad or wrong or not beneficial, but just don't fall for the marketing tactics that it will quote unquote snatch you. All right, everyone, sassy episode. Feeling on fire today, but I hope this was helpful and informative. We will see you all next week, same time, same place. Bye for now.